We are Brightside, home of the
There you go.
Erica just came down. She's looking right at me, trying to mess with me right now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
I told her to pop her head in and say hi. She won't do it.
No. Yeah, I found
out. Now I called her out. Now she's doing it.
There you go.
She is.
Hello. Can she hear us?
Can't hear you.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit.
Yeah, there we go. I had the same thing. Talking with Ralph Potts did the same thing. His wife popped in, and I'm like, hey. And he's like, she can't hear you. Oh, okay. So, but how you doing?
Not too bad. How about you?
I'm doing all right. When are you coming on?
Oh, no, that's okay.
Yeah.
just here a quick little hello.
There you go. Oh, nice to see you. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy.
I'm going to. That usually scares them right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. When are you coming on? I'm out of here. I've heard him talk. He won't let me go. Oh, so I really appreciate you having me on for your first podcast. This the new, Johnny and Mikey show. It's really great to be a guest here. You guys, with all the experiences you guys have had lately and going around. And I mean, it's great that you're starting this new podcast and everything.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of, like you said, lots of experiences. We got a lot to talk about. So
I know. And let's say, all joking aside, this is the first ever team up of a Takeover Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So thinking of that, guys.
Now, I thought about that. Roseanne and Mike beat us to it.
Oh, yeah.
They were kind of like guests. They weren't. Yeah, that was kind of different. And you guys are actually, clearly they're not listeners. that was not a listeners takeover situation. So, but that was a team up. And what was really cool about that one is, I don't know if we hit on it a lot, but that Mike hadn't spoken up until this year. And I thought I was going to be the first because we were supposed to do it early in the month. But then what ended up happening is, we just kept waiting, delaying or whatever. And then the week of the anniversary came up and then she did a bunch of appearances on the news and Mike joined her. So that was, but he since then, he had never, ever spoken ever publicly until this year, till literally the week that he spoke to us too. So, cause he's a very private person, very private, very quiet. But as you can hear, you guys only know him now through that podcast and he just sounds like a great guy, like one of us, which he is. Right. But I swear to God, every time I met him, he was like, hi, just the guy. And somebody, I think my son told me, he goes, yeah, you were right. He heard it. And he's like, he's just always the guy standing in the corner. And it was like, we'd go to her speakings and stuff and he'd be back in the corner. Like, and he just, hi, nice to meet you. Don't hurt me. You guys are the team up. You're the first team up. It was your idea ahead of time. You guys were going to, you mentioned it a month or two before Expona that you said it, and you're like, well, we want to come on. I'm like, absolutely, let's do it. So let's have some fun. Where do you want to start? Because you have another thing you did together after that. I got to work in the morning, but what are we doing here?
You lead the way, Mike.
All right.
I'll be right behind you.
All right. So, Expona came first. That was, for anybody that hasn't gone, even to just go to Expona, just to experience $100,000 speakers, just for the heck of it. It's so much fun just to check this stuff out. A lot of the stuff is most of us would never, ever be able to afford it. Right. And if we did buy it, we would probably just feel terrible that we spent that much money on speakers. But it's a heck of a lot of fun to go and check it all out. So it's Expona's a lot of fun. John?
Yeah, I just love seeing all the different speakers, how they look and it's hard to tell how they sound. The rooms aren't set up very, very well.
Really?
Not really. Don't you think, Mike, barely any of them have any acoustic treatments whatsoever? I mean, there was maybe one or two that did. I don't know. I just like the environment and the atmosphere, I guess. And that's why I like to go and we went with Mike this time and his wife, and it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun.
They're all basically set up in hotel rooms, and they just strip everything out of the hotel room except for anything that's attached to the wall. So you got dressers in there still. The only real soft surfaces are the curtains, and they don't really do much. So it's not like the rooms are treated. It's just, you deal with what you deal with. But there was still quite a few that were real impressive. Some that were just like, okay. But no, the fun part is just going around. We saw a $100,000 amp. What was it? A Gryphon, John? Is that what it was?
Yeah, Gryphon.
My son would fit inside of it. My 12-year-old son could fit inside of it.
100,000. It was like, 400 pounds, I think? 400 Something pounds, $100,000. Yeah. So just kind of crazy. But, this year they did have a couple home theater setups. So they had SVS had theirs, of course. And we went there first. And we were waiting right outside the door for those boys. And then Focal's got a really large
setup. Was Nick there this year? I know Larry was. I can't remember if Nick was there. Yeah. Nick was there?
Yeah.
I actually told Erica walking in, I said, if we walk into SVS and Nick looks at me and says, "You're Mike Schramm," I'll say, "My day will be made."
Did he?
Sure enough, I walked in. He goes,
"Yeah, he did.
Are you Mike Schramm?" And I played it off. And I was like, "Yeah, how did you know that?" He goes, "You're all over Twitter. You're always responding on Twitter. I recognized you."
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Were you the one that jumped? Was that you, Mike?
That jumped.
Somebody did one where they were jumping in the air on Twitter outside of SVS.
Oh, no, somebody, no, no.
Who was
that? No, that was way back when. That was like.
Yeah. So one of my listeners, somebody that's been on the show too.
Yeah.
I forget who it was.
Didn't that happen right when SVS was just starting up? Mm-hmm. Like they were.
Yeah. It was one of the original. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a while. It was an old picture. It's an archive picture, but. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm in trouble again. Somebody's gonna be like, "It was me." I'm like, "Oh boy, John Brocked it." No, that's cool. And you didn't even have a "Hello, my name is Mike Schramm" on or anything. No badge.
No badge.
I get that everywhere I go in this shirt. Hey DJ. Hey. They know me.
But yeah. Larry did his demos for us. Yeah. Spider-Man.
Okay.
He did, which one is it? No Way Home, Far From Home.
It's the one that with was Mysterio. Cool.
When Mysterio takes over.
That's the middle one. Yep. Far From Home.
Far From Home. Okay.
Homecoming, Far From Home, No Way Home.
Yeah. Okay.
He actually, that was his second demo, John? His first one was Baby Driver.
And then Ghostbusters. He did Ghostbusters, didn't he?
The opening?
Did he do Afterlife?
Did he? He very well may have. Yeah. I know he did the Turtles thing.
Oh, he did the Turtles one going down the hill? Yeah. That's a great one.
And he used The Greatest Showman, the girl that's in Dune as well, when she's doing her performance.
Rebecca Ferguson?
Yes. Yeah, that one scene. They used that to show off the Ultra Center.
Yep.
Nice. Oh, I'll have to cue that up. Yeah, I know most of those from talking to him, but I haven't talked to him about that one yet. So I'm gonna have to pull that one up. That's a great movie. Great sounding movie too.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So, how was their room compared to others? SVS, answer that first, and then I'll get to some of the other high end stuff. $100,000 speakers.
Yeah, so Mike, right there, they were just one of two home theater setups. Focal had a gigantic, like a ballroom with like several setups, but they actually set up like a makeshift room with seven bed layer speakers at most. They just revealed a brand new line of speakers. I can't remember what it's called, but Diva. They used those. Yeah, there you go. And that was pretty cool, you know. And they had the couch, and you could actually have the sound go all around you, and they had music and movies going on for that. So that was cool.
That's awesome.
Yep.
That's awesome. Go ahead.
The SVS room was a lot more laid back, dare I say fun, than some of the...
Well, kind of is going to be when you walk in and they know you.
Yeah. Oh,
that's true. But, I mean, I don't know how else to say this. A lot of the rooms are kind of hoity-toity. Yes. You know what I mean? Like,
I thought that was... You started with $100,000 speakers.
I mean,
did you have your pinkies out on all your drinks and everything? Right, and you're right. I'm like, of course.
Right. And then you go in the SVS room and they're like, let's watch the Turtles.
So. Exactly. Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what's... But I love how you started out with... And you haven't heard the podcast yet, but I talked with... last week talked to Joe Klusnick, and we were talking about having Keith, it was Harrison, on about the like $100,000 systems for your house, right? The house integration, right? That's like dreamland stuff, right? Just like you guys looking at $100,000 speakers, I'm not going to pay $100,000 to have my house digitized or whatever you call it.
Right. Yeah.
But it's fun to see that stuff. It's fun to dream. And it's like, and that's how we get ideas that we have. And it's like, how can I approach that? How can I try to duplicate whatever I saw there? But then, like you said, that is the hoity-toity stuff. And then you go into SVS and you go, all right, this is reality. This is fun. This is what I can have. And really, what was the difference between the two? Right?
Yeah, and not much.
Not much, right. But you know what's funny is you're like, I mean, you just gave like the best endorsement ever. You're like, oh, $100,000 in this room, $100 in this room, but the SVS room was fun.
It was, yeah.
It's like, it was awesome. And it's like, and that's kind of what everything is about, though, you know? It's like, I mean, yeah, you want to put a $100,000 speaker in your living room so everybody comes over and goes, wow. Doesn't matter what they sound like. Wow.
Yeah,
but we all want to have fun with that stuff, and most of the time it's by ourselves listening to it and watching these scenes, you know. So but that's but what I want, I mean, I have two theories on these $100,000 systems, rooms and stuff, but do you think having experienced all these different rooms, I've never been, I told you guys I wanted to surprise you this year, and it was close right up until Tuesday. Oh, did I not tell you that, John? I told Mike.
Me that.
No, yeah, yeah. No.
Yeah, it was right up until Tuesday. I was talking to my wife. We were looking at flights, and I'm like, I could just down and back, man. It. And I'm like, that would have been hysterical if you... How funny would that have been when you walk into SVS and be like, Mike, hey, what? So I was working on it. But, you know, one of these days.
Yeah.
But yeah. So you're in all these different rooms, $100,000 speakers, $50,000, crazy different speakers, systems, and all of that. Do you think the rooms themselves are actually a detriment, maybe even hurting these brands?
Oh, yeah, I think so. We'll let Mike.
Yeah. So did you hear that, Mike?
I missed it.
I said, do you think there's a chance with these really super expensive speakers, $100,000, $50,000 speakers, systems, and all that, you're in a hotel room, no room treatments. Do you think there's a chance that the rooms are actually a detriment to like the sales pitch or anything for these speakers?
I would think so. I do. Simply because some of the speakers, in my opinion, they're showing them off and they're good. They sound great, but it's not worth the price tag they're asking. So it's almost like if you're, I don't know, I feel like if they're going to ask that much money, it must sound a lot better in the proper environment, and they just can't showcase it as well as they would like to in that setting, I guess.
Right. And, but see, that to me is like, then what's the point? You know what I mean? No. Like, I, you know, it's like, I mean, I get the, obviously, you can get the point for like an SVS or something, because it don't, especially, and even what Focal did, it's like, that's a surround sound system, and you could put a surround sound. To kind of be fair, it's like you put a surround sound system in the middle of a gymnasium, right? With a big giant room, you don't have to worry about room reflections. So you could actually get better, like, woo. The only thing you're going to be lacking severely is they're going to be the bass, but your pans and everything and your speakers around you, you're going to get a really good sense of that, because you're not going to have to deal with room reflections like you would in a hotel room. But that stuff there is, like you guys were saying before, more fun. These, you know, two channel systems that are $100,000 or multiple thousands of dollars. I think it's one mostly about the art and more about the, just like make you feel better about spending a 10th of that. Right. Like almost like, wow, they're not a hundred thousand, honey, but they're 10. Oh, okay. Like what? they just sold $10,000 speakers, because you're like, oh, I never would have bought those in the first place, but I'm saving money, honey. Look at this. So I just don't, $100,000. I mean, I know what I'm doing, and I'm not spending anywhere near that. I'm not spending maybe $10,000 on a whole system, but say you spent $10,000 on a whole system, and it's like, I want them in my room. Yeah. You know, so I'm wondering, like, how was it? Could you hear a difference in each room? Did you have a favorite outset? Like, did you go, wow, if I could afford that, I would get it? Anything like that?
Yeah, there's one brand. I think we agree on that. But yeah. Let me say a couple things really quick, though, DJ, if you don't mind. So
that's what we're here for.
Yeah. Okay.
Take your time, John. Slow down. It's like, okay. Let me say this really quick. You know, I'm on a egg timer here.
Well, I get like 10,000 like ideas in my head, and I gotta like sort them
all. Welcome to my world, buddy.
Okay. So I don't think we experienced it in the rooms we were at, but I've gone back on YouTube and watched other people's like reviews of the show and stuff. And a lot of the people, before they start their demo, they'll even say that the room isn't set up properly. And this is probably 20% of the potential of these speakers. I saw several videos that said that. So they know it and they're getting it out of the way, you know? Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing. A lot of those rooms, they're not even manufacturer rooms. A lot of them are like dealers, and they'll bring in their dealer for a certain speaker, an amp, a turntable, and all that. So it's almost like a way to get contacts. You know, it's almost like a big advertisement for their store or their company. And a lot of rooms are that way. You know, at least with the smaller hotel rooms, there are a lot of dealers.
Right. So. Exactly. And Mike, did you have anything to add to that? Or I?
Just a funny anecdote. The Perlison room thought that John and I were Brightside Home Theater dealers, because we both had Brightside Home Theater shirts on.
Yep.
There you go. I didn't think we were making that public yet, but all right, there you go. Yeah, that's funny. That's great. That's good. No, what I was going to say is I think that's exactly right, John. It's like, it's the whole thing is about, you know, meeting, you know, shaking babies and kissing hands. I said that backwards on purpose.
I just thought that. I didn't realize
you said it backwards. You guys were both so, I'm like, they didn't even pick up on it. No, but the whole thing is a meet and greet and to have fun, because honestly, if you were there to demo these things, you're trucking $100,000 speakers back and forth, and you got to be putting them in boxes. You got to be doing things. You couldn't pack up some $20 room treatments.
I know.
You think of some of the boxes they're hauling around. Room treatments are really light, and you could literally set up a lot quicker than you're setting up the gear, a bunch of stand up room treatments around the room to actually demo these things right, and they're not even putting in that kind of effort. I mean, I'm a car painter donkey just sitting with you guys right now, and I'm like, super easy to do. And but that's not what it's about. And it's like, if you're interested in it, then you go and you get a real demo later. Right.
Yeah, I think so.
you know, you're not going, I mean, you're not going to these things and being like, okay, give me a serious demo here and I'm buying right now. Got the credit card out. And no, you're, it's all, this is all just for fun. And it sounds like it's a lot of fun, but it's more of a contacts thing, meeting and, you know, expanding your Rolodex.
Yeah.
Really?
I think a lot of that too, like, I think you're onto something there, DJ, like, because it is such a meet and greet, get your name out there type event. Some of the rooms are, the chairs in there are packed like sardines. Like there's no room to place treatments because they got chairs in that spot. So that mm-hmm. more people can get in there. So it's what do you right. want? Do you want, you know, to really showcase the product, or do you want to expose your name and your, you know, your business to more people? It's
yeah.
You know, right. Right. And that's just it. Yeah. I'd like to go to those, start going to stuff like that again, but it was always for me, it was like, especially when I did get to sneak in on stuff, and it would be home and trade shows and stuff that I went to before where people would have stuff like that. And that's what I would go towards, some of the home entertainment stuff. We had a couple in Boston many, many years ago that I've been to, but I wasn't. Obviously, I didn't have a podcast. I had no reason to get my name out. So I was just a guy like you guys walking around there. You're like, you're just fans of the equipment. But other than that, it's like, mm-hmm, okay. And it's like, what am I doing here? But now it could be fun. And yeah, that's it. I mean, I as you can tell, Brightside Home Theater, about the experiences, that's what I'm mm-hmm. about. And it's like, I don't want to get packed into a room, stand in the back corner and go, yeah, this is how I normally listen to my $100,000 speakers, in the back corner over here. Yeah, because, you know, two channel, it's always best to be off in the left rear. Yeah. It's like, those sound awesome.
Yeah.
Can you turn it up? What's your name?
The Yamaha room in particular, I feel they had two adjacent rooms, if I remember. Was it Yamaha, John?
Yeah.
And there was people everywhere. Like you had to like slide along the back wall to get to the next. Yeah. They very well could have had some pretty impressive stuff, but it with everyone in there and dealers talking and stuff, they sounded like speakers. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah. And I was glad we got into SVS right away because I'm sure it was like that all 3 days.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, all 3 days of the show, I'm sure they were just probably packed. And they're at the very end of one of the hallways too. So the hallway was probably packed. The room, because they had two rooms. They had their surround sound set up, and then they had a two channel with the Micro 3000 set up in the other room. So, but between the, I'm sure it was packed in those two rooms all weekend long. So,
oh, and how I love Larry's job. I could not do that job. As much as I love watching the same things over and over, like movies, mm-hmm. but I do it because like I want to, right? You're like, I say on a whim, I'll go and watch Star Wars, but I get a lot of whims, right? And yeah. I'll just go back, I'll go and sit down and watch it again. But can you imagine like all day long being like, and here and coming with the enthusiasm and explain, you know, that he does. And you're like, here's the turtles. It's like by 4 o'clock, you're like, it's the freaking turtles. Watch a bunch of noises. But you'll hear it. You get, if I got to tell you, it's not very good, right? It's like, oh, man, what he does. I admire that, just to be able to do that over and over and just look at that stuff. And I mean, talking with Luke that time, I talked from Kaleidoscape and they meticulously go through every single movie. I'm like, you're ruining the fun of going to watch a movie. It's like, did you remember that? Like he's telling you, he goes, his team watches these movies for like before they get released to us. And they go through them meticulously. And it's like, can you imagine? Okay, yeah. Well, it's like, where's the fun in that? It's like, we're all anticipating like the release of Maverick. They have it and they're like combing through it to make sure it's all right and putting flags in for certain things. And you're like, it's a job now. It's like,
yep.
That stinks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh,
Larry did look like he was having a lot of fun though in the minutes we hung out with him though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Gary's kind of, he's nice, but all business. Nick,
I love
nice.
Gary. I love Larry. Larry looks
like he's just having fun.
Oh yeah. Larry's like me. And you got to have that balance. That's why I love Gary. It's like, you have to have that balance. You can't run a company. You can't have a company with just me and Larry. It'll just go under really fast. We'll just have fun. got to have Gary keeping me and Larry in check. Right. It's like, but it's, yeah, he's, and I, Gary, it's when he was on here and he's all business. He's all, and I love pulling at him like that. Oh, they're great. And Nick is such a salesman. He's so great. I love talking to him. He's so funny. Did you guys get to talk to him a lot, or was he too busy?
He was doing the two channel room, right? Nick was.
Yeah. Oh,
so
really?
So we did get to talk to him. We were the only two in there, I think, at the time. So that was nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to sell Erica on the Prime Wireless Pros.
Oh yeah.
So I'm over standing on the side giving the sales pitch to Erica, and Nick's just, I looked over to see him, and he's looking at me, just giving me the side eye, just waiting, like, yep, that's right. He's just like, yep. He said that right. Yep. That's right. Like, right. Nick's fact checking me just to make sure that I'm saying everything. So yeah.
You should have started saying a couple of things wrong just to see, watch his face turn red. Oh, like, did you see his face when I was on the SVS happy hour or whatever? And he introduced me and he's so scared. He was the only one. Larry burst out laughing right away. And Nick was like right in that top corner. And I was like right below him on the squares, right? I'm seeing him and he just went, because he was so scared, because he's the one that introduced me. He's like, and he doesn't know me that well, and especially at the time, and he was just like, he's afraid I froze. Hi. So great, because he's so, like, that's what he does. He's image control. He's like, it's like, he's so good at it, but it's, oh, he's fun. That was funny. But That's good. Yeah. So did you sell it? Did you get to sell her on them? Is she convinced?
No. Long story short, no.
You're going to have to go back to sales school.
she heard them last Expona before they brought them to Expona last year before they were actually released.
Mm-hmm.
And like the big product reveal and all that stuff. And she heard them then. She was like, oh, I love these. We need to get these for the upstairs living room. And I was like, okay. Not going to, don't have to tell me twice. And they weren't available at the time. And so they said they'd be available sometime in the, summer, early fall, whatever. And so the farther away we got from Expona, the more she was like, nah, we don't really need them. And to the point where it's like, no, we don't need them. And so now this Expona comes and now I'm on my kick where I'm trying to, get my prime satellites to replace my Klipsch surrounds and all that stuff. And so she's like, do you want the prime wireless for the living room or do you want the prime satellites for the basement? Prime satellites for the basement.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah. She loves them. She loves the way they sound, because they sound awesome. But,
Yeah.
It's on the back burner.
What do they? I haven't heard them. The prime wireless. I haven't heard them. How do they sound? Do they sound like ultras? They're just powered, something like that.
Have you heard the Prime bookshelves?
Well, I have the Ultra bookshelves. I haven't heard the Prime bookshelves.
Okay. I would put the Prime Wireless in between the Prime bookshelves and the Ultras. The Ultras are a little bit.
Okay.
Cleaner. I guess I would say. Mm-hmm. But the Prime Wireless, they're just a step or two below the Ultras. They're good. They sound really good. So
awesome. Yeah. Well, by the time this comes out on Tuesday, the same Tuesday that I'll be drawing that one, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. This will come out on the day that, people will listen to this. And then if it's Tuesday morning, it's in the afternoon, I'll be doing the drawing for the Ultras for Roseanne's, the Heather Abbott Foundation. So there you go. So we'll be giving a pair away. Woohoo. But yeah, I have the Prime Wireless sound base, but I have RS speakers, so really can't distinguish a sound off of that. I mean, it's nice. Yeah. And RS speakers are nice. So are you guys like keeping it close to the vest or something? Like, what was your favorite sounding speakers other than
the Pearlistons were awesome.
Okay, what separated that then? Then, you know what I mean? We got bad, we've already established it's not the best environment and all of that. What made these jump out to you guys?
John.
Right when they went on, the clarity and the bass, and me and Mike just kind of both looked at each other and we were just like, what in the world? They're $20,000, so they're not $100,000, but there was just something about them.
Well, they're a bargain then.
Yeah. What is it? The piano black is only 18.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rose cherry or something like that is 20. So if you like the piano black like I do, it's only 18, not 20.
You just saved yourself $2,000. That's you know, 10% off.
Hey, one of the surprising things was, so you know the Pearlson, they're famous for their THX Dominus rating or whatever. Have you heard about that, DJ? Mm-hmm. And you're talking those rooms are maybe 12 by 16, maybe something like that. So you have a big tower with maybe 4/8 in there, I think, something like that, 4/8 or 9s. And it actually sounded good in that little room. And that was kind of shocking, too, I think, to us. We thought it was going to be boomy, too much speaker for the room, and it was not.
Oh, my gosh. And the bass was so tight. Like, it was, like John said, it was not boomy at all.
No.
There was no sub whatsoever. And that room had better bass than my basement with my two PB2000s.
It was really something.
It's also a smaller room than your basement, right?
Well, true. Like, yeah. Well, absolutely. Okay. It's a lot. Plus, my basement's open. But
Right.
But to hit the notes as low as it was hitting and to, you could, you know, it's tangible. You could feel the bass out of just two towers. I don't know. It was so impressive. It was literally like, it was literally one of those things where your jaw drops. You're just like, how can this be?
Yeah.
It was that good.
And even that was the room where my wife was even like, she fell in love with those. Yep. And I was really? Like, Lord. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That was, hold on. We'll talk about Mike's wife's favorite room in a second, though. But, that was the Pearlson was mine. That was my wife's favorite. And then on the way home, she's just like, they probably don't sound better than the Legacies, but they did look, she liked how they looked a little bit better. They were black with like a, I think it was like a walnut on the side or something. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it was, but they did look very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Too. So
I like the checkered drivers, or I don't even know. Is it checkered?
Is it carbon or something looking?
Yeah.
Is
it
carbon fiber, maybe something like that? Yeah. Yeah.
So actually, now, hey, didn't I DM you, DJ, and said, hey, if you got extra, I did.
And I told you, you DM me and you said, if you got an extra $20,000 lying around, and I was like, oh, I only have 19. Damn, I was so close. But now I'd have 1,000 left over if I got piano black. So
there you go.
All right. There we go.
You got one speaker. That's it.
All right. I'll work on it. Another 20 years, I'll have another speaker. It's like, oh man, can you imagine? Like, I don't know. If you have that kind of money, I don't think you're having as much fun. I really don't.
Yeah.
I really don't. Cause you're just like, I want those. And it's not the, I don't know. I don't know. Is this like reverse elitist? If I'm like, rich people don't have fun, you know, like, as much fun, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, if you can just say it and you have it, is that as much fun as like what we all go through where it's like, we have to like work and plan and configure and try to manipulate it and try and get it without getting it. But then when you know, like, all right, well, if I could do that. And then when you get it, you're that much more excited about it as opposed to, those are nice. Let's get those. And it's done. What fun is that? You know?
What do they say? Like, most of the fun is in the journey or whatever they say. Yeah. Like, the journey is the fun part.
Yeah. Once you get there, you're like, okay, well, time to go home now.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
You know, and you're on to your next adventure. And if that was your adventure, like, yeah, that was nice. Let's get it. What's the next one? I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they have more fun other adventures that are fun to them. I don't know. But yeah, I'm having fun doing it. I'm having fun doing it our way. Yep. Broke.
Yep.
Now when you heard those, was that, I know you said SVS was the first, like one of the first rooms you went in, you got there early. Where in the line was that? Like, where did, was that early in the day? Had you been to a bunch of rooms or, and then these jumped out at you, or was this early on and then nothing compared to that?
They were either last or second to last, weren't they, John?
Yeah. Yep. They were in the last floor that we were on. Yeah. So yeah, it was towards the end of the day.
Yeah. No, it's, okay. So we had already experienced the Focals. We experienced the god awfully expensive ones. We, you know, and we stopped in Perlisten last, and they, I mean,
yeah, we're like, we're good. We can go home now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Journey's over. We heard it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now I what do you think if you had heard those first, just out of, I mean, you didn't plan it. I mean, but just say that was, they were in the first room you went to. Do you think you would have had the same reaction?
Yeah. Boy, who, I can't tell. Who knows, right? Well, I'd like to say yes, yeah. But it's hard to tell. I think yes, though. I would probably say yes.
I think
it was it was like instant. You know, well, within 5 seconds, you knew.
Yeah,
these are different. At least to our ears, they're different than everything that we'd heard. And we went to most of the big rooms. You know, the big expensive rooms. Mm-hmm. Not the small rooms with expensive speakers, but there's, what do you say, maybe 10, 12 rooms that are like large rooms that have expensive speakers. We went to all those, and then the Perlisten, and then a couple of the small ones too. And it just, they really stuck out compared to everything else we heard.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I was thinking of it in like an amusement park type thing. Like when you go to an amusement park and you go on that ride, and it might be the first ride of the day. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, wow, that was awesome. And then you get to the next one, and you're like, not the same, and nothing lives up to it. So then you go back on that ride at the end of the day, like, yeah, that was, and that's what I kind of think what would have happened to you guys if it was in reverse.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you would have been all day long, you'd be like, nothing lives up. Like, maybe you weren't as blown away. You wouldn't have been as blown away right initially. Ugh. Yeah. See, I make it look easy. this speaking thing. You probably still would have had your jaw drop, Mike, but it would have been like, okay, now let's get this next, and nothing would have lived up to it. And then you probably would have ended your day going, yep, they're awesome. So when they stand out like that.
I agree. I could have seen multiple revisits. If we would have gone there first, like anytime we were near that room, I could see us going, let's pop in real quick. Just one more time. Yeah.
So you don't have to give a brand if you don't want.
Okay.
What was the biggest disappointment?
Ooh.
Like that you didn't like. Like you were like, ooh. And it could have been because of price. Like you were like, how do they charge for this? Or could have been anything. Like, what was the biggest disappointment? Mike's got one. He's got a smile on his face. You don't have to say who it was, because I don't want, if you don't want to throw anybody under a bus, I get it. I understand that. But can you describe why and like what happened? Like, you know, give a price and or whatever, why you were disappointed. You don't have to say who it was, though.
Okay. I'm interested to hear Mike's, because I don't have one. So I want to hear.
You were never disappointed, John?
Well, there was, I mean,
who are you, probably, me?
Yeah, I am kind of bright side, but there's a couple hundred rooms, I bet. Well, maybe something like that. We hit very few of them. So we kind of just picked rooms we wanted to go to.
Yeah.
We probably did, I don't know, anything, maybe 30, maybe
I'd say 30 about systems. 30, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we hit maybe 20% of all the available rooms. So I don't know. There was nothing that just completely stuck out as like being disappointed to me.
Okay.
But whatever Mike says might remind me of something and I might agree with him. We'll see here.
Well, here's the thing. I shouldn't say I was disappointed. It was more of I had high expectations. This was a brand that John actually suggested. He wanted to check it out.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to Exponent with Johnny Speakers. He knows way more about this stuff than I do.
His last name Speakers, for God's sake.
Exactly, right?
Okay.
So he had a few brands that he wanted to check out, which I'm on board, absolutely. That's why I'm here. So we checked out. I'll name it when we're not on air. But it was one of the brands he wanted to check out. And we went in and I heard it and I'm like, this doesn't do anything for me.
Oh, okay.
And,
all right.
And it wasn't that it was bad or, you know, I wasn't disappointed. It was just like, this just a speaker company. Nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know why John's excited about this one, but okay.
Yeah. He's now John. He's not Johnny Speakers anymore. I don't know why John is excited about this one, but he just lost his last name. That's great. No, but and what's funny is like, you know, listen to John's first response. It's like, oh, we only went in rooms that we really wanted to go in. You know, we chose those. That's usually where you get disappointed, right? Where you had an expectation. If you went in a room where I've never heard of them before. Oh, okay. And you had nothing. What are you going to be disappointed in? You just learned. You didn't really, you know, and it's the disappointment that you get. Unless you went into this new room that you're like, $120,000 speaker, check this out. You go in and go, you could put an SVS badge on that. What the hell are we doing here? That's you know, like, that's horrible. Like, what are you doing $120,000? You could also get that. So I didn't know if you ran into any of that, but yeah, it's no, that's good. That's you. Yeah. Yeah. I won't mention that. So anyways, I just fumbled there. No, that's cool. That's, it would be fun. I wish I was there.
That next year, been, DJ.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I'm trying. What CD is in September?
Okay.
That's in Denver this year, I think. And I'm really trying to get to that.
Okay.
But yep. We'll see. I'm trying to get out. Yeah. So what else you got?
Mike, want to tell them about your wife's favorite speakers?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because for the most part, DJ, like, we, both our wives are great, but they mostly stood outside the rooms while we went in. There was room where she got right in the money seat, right in the middle of the room.
Yes.
For one room.
I honestly could not, I'm sure John can tell you the name of the speakers.
I think they're called Burmeister. They're from Denmark, I believe.
Okay.
Denmark or Holland or something. Because the guy that was talking about them had, you know, the accent that they do, which was kind of, you know, fun.
But yeah. The guy, you know, the guy from Frozen, that the shopkeeper from Frozen.
I've never seen Frozen. I saw the play.
It's okay. Some accent. I don't know what the accent is, but it was.
Yeah.
But no, Erica walks in. I mean, like, literally, there's like 65 year old guys that clearly have lots of money sitting in all of these seats, and Erica just strolls right up and plop right in the money seat, right in the middle, and she's just loving it and sitting there. And John and his wife and I were kind of off on the side, and Erica's just sitting there loving it. And they sounded good. They were cool looking speakers. They were unique, like, aesthetically. They were awesome looking. And were they kind of blue, John? I feel like they were had a bluish tint to them. And
Burmeister, I think they're called.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was the big worldwide unveiling of these speakers. And,
yeah.
$280,000 for these two speakers. Yeah.
Was it 280 each or 280 for the pair? I don't
know. A pair.
Yeah. Pair. Okay. So 140 a piece. That's not bad.
Yeah. Yes. You know.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
It's a nice house.
The crazy thing is when Mike was in the room, there was a gentleman outside of the room talking to another guy that actually ordered the first pair, and they were talking about getting them installed in his house. So what? People do buy those speakers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Oh. Right.
Yeah.
I think, so when we were in one room, no, we were waiting outside in like one of the lobbies, and a guy came up and started talking to me and Mike and started doing the whole thing of, you know, $100,000 speakers, who would waste their money on all that? Even if I was rich, I wouldn't do all that, whatever. But you just think that there are people that have lots of money, and to them, $100,000 speakers is really nothing. To some people, it's really nothing. No. And that's what those brands need to sell. 10 to 15 pairs of those speakers a year, and they've made a nice little yearly, you know, profit.
Yeah.
So
it's insane. When you think about it, them spending $100,000 on these speakers is far, not even close. It is so far less of a percentage of their income than us buying the speakers we buy.
Yeah.
Because you know what I mean? It's like, their income is just so high, and it's like the percentage of it's so disposable to them, where we're like, okay, this is, I mean, a set of speaker, it's literally a decent percent, a good speaker system for us. It's a good percentage of our annual salary, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For these people, it's under a percent. It's like, and it's like, for us, it's like 10%, maybe, you know, it's like, you know, a good speaker system, you're spending 10% of your annual salary. And it's like, and they're like, it's like a percentage of a percentage. You know, like, but it's $100,000 speaker.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And it's like, I mean, I've told the story before when I picked up my, what projector was it? I picked up a projector and from in one of the years from a dealer that was working with Jim, my projector guy. He was at this house in Newton, Mass, which is right outside of Boston. And he's like, you got to come here and pick it up because we've been working here all week. And me and my son pull up. The entire lawn is on crates because they brought in sod. The whole place is stripped. There's new basketball court going in the backyard. It was a $1.5 million renovation to the home within a week for a party. And me and my son are dressed like this, and I start to walk across and they had pieces of wood down on the dirt. Just dirt, right? Because they were still doing the fresh new pavers that they were doing. The guys I wanted to see were inside working on the theater. Jim was calibrating it, and they're putting in, I mean, that, I think they wanted, he was like, just under $100,000 was going into the theater. I never got in to see the theater because as I'm starting my way across these boards that are on the dirt, because, you know, you don't want to get your feet on the dirt. This woman comes out and she's got a clipboard and she's like, excuse me, who are you? Blah, 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 blah. And it was like, it was a high ranking sports athlete from Boston was having a party. And this is the crew and you're not allowed on the property, which I don't blame them. You can't just have people traipsing around, right? And it was like, wait there. So I had to wait in the road and she had to go get the people. But it was a 1.5. And then when they came out, they told me what was going on and what they were doing. But they were like, and who it was and all that. But it was like $1.5 million renovation. And this was on a Friday afternoon. The party was on Sunday. And the lawn was still on pallets. and they're like, and you know it's going to get done because a bunch of guys just go and they roll it all out. But they got it done.
That's crazy.
But that's what they do for a party. You know?
I mean, I get the dishes done for a party.
Yeah. And hopefully you don't
do the dishes.
Yeah, and don't break one.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Don't break one. This party's already costing us enough. It's crazy. And it's people have crazy money. It's just crazy money. And it's There was just recently I heard somebody say, like, it was an athlete talking about another athlete, and he made a joke when he signed, and it's like he signed for like, you know, $190 million or something like that. And he goes, most people have to work their whole lifetime for this kind of money. 190. It's like, well, we'll never approach that. It's right. Like most people never approach it, but it's like, it's insane. So, so that's fun. So, yeah, so your wife has good taste in speakers.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice. That's nice. Scary, but nice. Because as much as we love it, you're like, I'm never going to be able to impress her with my setup. So let me ask you, this is a little personal though. It's outside of the home theater. Now, you guys said you met through Brightside. Mm-hmm. So was this the first time your wives had met, or you guys, like, what's that? I mean, that's pretty cool too. Cause you're saying you guys are going into the rooms and the wives are hanging out together outside the rooms. And that's pretty cool. You guys are, everybody's getting together, or everybody's, you know, getting along. Okay.
Yeah. They're both crafters. They had a good old time talking to each other.
Crafters.
Yeah. They're crafters. They're talking about crafting and stuff. So yeah, immediately. Nice. Yeah. They're buddies too. So it worked out. It was a really nice day.
Yeah, nice. No, it works out. We're already talking about summer get-togethers and stuff because the wives can hang out. John and I can hang out.
Yeah.
John's kids have similar interests to my kids. It just works.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And what'd you say? You're about an hour and a half apart?
Yeah, something like that? About two
hours, right? Apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
And how far are you guys from each of you is from Expona?
Exactly the same.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like right between yous?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
He texted me. He's like, yeah, it says a minute and six. Well, at first I said a minute 10. And he goes, oh, it's a minute six. And I actually laughed and I sent him a screenshot of what Google Maps said. It was a minute six. So we were exactly in the middle of
hour six. Hour six. A minute six. Woo.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's get into cars. Yeah, yeah. What are you guys driving?
an hour six, yes.
Yeah. Wow. That's funny. That's funny. That's cool.
If you drew a triangle from where John lives to Chicago to where I live, it's like.
Right. Nice. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Oh. Yeah, it was. Well, was it during the podcast? The Winter Classic when I was out there in Chicago? I was in Chicago for the Winter Classic when the Bees played Chicago at Notre Dame.
Oh,
so
okay.
I was in. That was like 3 years ago.
Okay.
Was that Notre Dame football stadium?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They played in Notre Dame. The Bees played Chicago, played the Blackhawks in Notre Dame. Okay. So it was on New Year's Day. So I flew into Chicago. It was me, my son, my brother, and my two brother-in-laws. We flew into Chicago, drove down to, Notre Dame, stayed over there on New Year's Eve. And then watched the game the next day, went and spent the night in Chicago after that. So, and then we're back home. So that was the last time I was there. So
yeah.
I think that was the only time I was there other than layovers on my way to Denver or something, but I'll have to make that a frequent visit now.
There you go.
So yearly visit. So what was your, what's this, next adventure that I wasn't expecting, but you tweeted out some pictures there and we have a new friend. What's all this?
Go ahead, Joe.
So I've been a part of a Illinois, Wisconsin home theater group for a little while. I'm not too involved in it, but I've been in it. And, one of the members got brought up in another YouTube video I was watching. It was some live YouTube podcast, and Mike watched it too. And we were talking to each other. I'm like, hey, the guy that they're talking, some guy did an after party show after Expona. A bunch of people went over to his house. And I just mentioned to Mike, I'm like, I know that guy. I bet you we could go there. And he's like, oh, really? So I invited him to the Discord group, and we're like, yeah, maybe in a couple weeks or a couple months, we'll make it to the guy's house. It was like 2 or 3 days later. Mike's like, hey, I'm going there on Thursday. Want to go? I'm like, yes.
Oh, wow.
So, it just happened really quick, you know.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Like John said, I joined the Discord group. And because I was the new member, it said, like, Mike Schramm, join the group, whatever. And so Mark, the homeowner, was like, oh, hey, Mike, where do you live? And I told him where I live. And he's like, you're 30 minutes away from me. Do you want to come over and check it out? Uh-huh. And then we got a hold of John, and John was going to come too. And instead of me going on a it would have been tonight. I was scheduled to go tonight. But
that's right. Yes.
Yeah. But and then John came along. He said, why don't you guys just come over on a Saturday? So John and I went over to his house on this, just this past Saturday, checked it out.
Yeah.
That was pretty impressive.
John's like, something. So what did he have? What's his setup?
Well, John, you got to take this. There's so much stuff.
It's when you walk into a, like, cause my room is smaller. Mike's got a basement that's nice, but it's an open basement. Mm-hmm. He had just a big, dedicated room, you know, just different
it
than
was
what we had.
Large. Like it yeah, was a think, large.
What room. Did he say? 20 by 30, maybe? I think something. 20 by 30.
Yeah. I mean,
and that, I think that was just the open area because there was 4 feet or something that was behind the screen. Cause everything was, well, the speakers and the subs in the front were, behind the screen. Everything else was out. But he had, so it was all JTR speakers. He had, I think, 11 bass speakers. So all the speakers were 212s in each one. The LCR. Yep. Then he had wides. Then he had sides. And then he had older JTRs in the rears. I think he called them like triple eights, maybe.
I wish these went out on video. I wish I could, but I'm not going to. But Mike looks like that meme where the person's like trying to do the math. It's like, yeah. Mike's hands are counting imaginary things all around him. He's pointing at imaginary. It looks like he's Miyagi and a bunch of mosquitoes out of the sky. Well, so I'm sitting here watching like you guys and John's describing and Mike's over there pointing at the air, cracking up, trying to pay attention.
So that's only the speakers. So you would think I know. Dual speakers with 12s are a big deal. And then you see the subwoofers, DJ. So he's got...
keep your hands down, Mike.
Okay, all right. Okay, ready, Mike? You ready to start counting with me? Okay.
Right.
So he's got dual subs with each 18s behind the screen.
Yeah.
And then at the side surround positions, he's got two 18s. And then behind it, he's got three boxes with dual 18s. And then he's got... Well, he calls them Crosons. They're butt kickers. I guess they're high-end butt kickers in the seats. Mm-hmm. Each one's got one of those. Then each seat has two 12-inch subwoofers mounted to the bottom of the seat. And then behind the front row are three 18 subwoofers as near field.
So behind, that's what he had for- just behind the front
yeah.
row.
Yeah, like literally like
a couple inches behind the seat.
Yeah.
So like, now, what are they in? How are they like behind the front row?
So they're probably a 4 cubic foot box with an 18 okay. inch. He's got three separate ones of those. Okay. One between each of the behind each of the seats.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So during the demos, he was doing a situation where he was like turning, like just had like the subs around the room on. He'd turn off the near field. He'd turn off everything connected to the seats. And then he'd turn on a little bit of this, a little of that. Because he had a Storm Audio processor. And then he had some fancy program where he could turn things on and off on demand during movies and everything. And it was kind of neat, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
No wonder why he's like, come on over. Because he's like, I mean, you set all that up and you just want to show it off. And you want people that can appreciate it, you know? Because a lot of people be like, most people be like, what's this?
Like, yeah. And he does it a lot. He had Plex. He had like this demo playlist, probably, I don't know, a couple hundred scenes long. And he just kept on playing, you know?
Nice.
Yep. We were there, 2.5 hours?
Yeah.
And he got through a third of his playlist that he had on his Plex. Yeah. Just picking and choosing scenes as we were going. So yeah, it was an experience. I think it was Mark V maybe, or Omar. One of them was like, it must have sounded great or something like that, or sounded incredible. I said, it sounded awesome, but it felt incredible. You just was. Feel everything.
Oh, it was crazy. Yeah. 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 It was more like it was in some instances, it was kind of like an amusement ride. Like super overkill, super. I wouldn't want to do this in every movie I watched. But it was a lot of fun, you know,
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When he had everything going. Yeah.
And he even said, like,
yeah,
if he's just going down there to watch a movie, it, I mean, he gave us the demo. You know what I mean? Like, he
didn't
give us the daily movie watching.
Yeah.
So, no. And then at the end of it all, after 2.5 hours of the demos and all the different scenes that he showed us and everything, he tells, you know, John asks, like, what was the volume at? He's like, oh, that was reference. And John and I both were like, oh, really? Like, I mean, it was, don't get me wrong, it was loud, but it wasn't painful by any stretch of the imagination. Like, oh, man, that was, that's awesome. That was 2.5 hours at reference. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was cool.
Isn't that cool? And that's, mm-hmm, yeah, that, when you said that, I was like, yes, thank you. It's like, yeah. And it's, yeah, that is, to be able to play all of that and it's at reference level. And what did he have? He must have had a ton of room treatments, you said, right?
Oh, yeah. He had, in every corner of the ceiling, he had bass traps. There was a lot of room treatments.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this guy, you could tell he's like a wizard at calibration. I mean, it was like super smooth. The bass was not boomy at all. You know, you could tell he's put a lot of work into getting it sounding pretty much perfect, you know,
right,
as perfect as that could be, you know. So, and he, even the way he talked about a lot of that stuff, I think even me and Mike were like looking at each other cross-eyed. You talk about BEQs and all this other stuff, we were like, okay, man.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. no idea.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
yeah. The tech guys, they just, that's what they love to do, and they just love to tweak and go at, like, those are the people that love, like, they go beyond Dirac. They go beyond all that. They do. I mean, it's obviously because they're, especially Storm audio. Does Storm use Dirac, or do they have a proprietary?
No, I think he said he's got Dirac.
Yeah. And just it's fun. That's now, awesome to be able to get out to do that.
Now, well, John, I was thinking about this. Did we ever see anything through the Lumigen?
No, I don't think so. Because he had a Lumigen that was hooked up for when he used his Apple TV.
Mm-hmm. And maybe his Oppo, I think. Oh, that's maybe.
Oh, where'd John go? Oh, we lost John's feed. That was weird.
But no, yeah, he had a Lumigen.
And a Mad VR.
Yeah. The Mad VR was the with the computer based version or whatever, you know, like, it wasn't the standalone Mad VR. It's the software or whatever that you could put in a home computer PC.
I was going. What are you connected? All right, John. Now you're. What are you connected with? We got all of a sudden all some audio feedback here.
Am I good now?
Oh, yeah, you're loud now. Did you change your headphones or microphone?
I'll be back.
Okay.
No, I got a phone call, and am I good now? I'll be back.
Okay. Yeah. We'll be here. We'll talk amongst ourselves.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. Bye.
I saw your one of you said he had a Mad VR and a Lumigen, and I was going to ask you, but I figured I'd wait for this because I'm like, was that just the computer? Because that's free software.
Yeah.
That you can run a Mad VR through it, but you have to have a hefty computer to be able to do it. But it's free, and it basically does the same thing as the Mad VR does, just you have to supply the computer.
Yeah,
and people were exactly using that before. Oh, cool.
Okay.
Now,
I got there after John. John beat me by 5-10 minutes. And I guess John and Mark were talking. There's something on The Greatest Showman that same scene we were talking about earlier with singing.
Yep.
And when Hugh Jackman goes out to introduce her, Hugh Jackman is orange, like straight up Willy Wonka orange. and I guess it's some flaw, like it's something with the Mad VR, or John can explain it better when he comes back. But he pointed it out to me, like he pointed out that Hugh Jackman's going to be really orange. And my only, I didn't stop him. I didn't feel like asking. But my thought was, if this is through a Mad VR, why would he be coming out orange? Like, isn't a Mad VR supposed to fix that, not make it worse, or something about the decoding the video or something? I don't know, but that one confused me. And like I said, John,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to see what. Okay, I can bring him back in. There he is.
All righty. Sorry, guys. I got a phone call on my phone and it just screwed everything up. I don't know.
Oh, because you're on your phone, right? So it probably.
I was. Now I'm not. Now I'm not. So.
Okay. So okay. We were just talking about the something about Hugh Jackman being orange in because of the Mad VR. And he said you would be able to explain it better.
Yeah, he was saying that. So he has a home theater PC version of Mad VR compared to the standalone versions that have come out recently.
Yeah.
And I guess, I don't know how long ago this stopped, but before you had to buy like a yearly subscription to Mad VR.
Mm-hmm.
And they would constantly update. It's almost like Kaleidoscape. If you're watching a movie and you say, hey, something's messed up, you could contact Kaleidoscape and they will work on it, you know, like your one guest did that one time for the Star Wars scene.
Yeah Nelson. Yep.
So I guess with Mad VR it was the same thing. Well, the version that he has is no longer supported in that way.
Yeah, because they're going since all then envy,
something yeah and I think you can buy a new license for the computer-based one. He just hasn't. But the version he has, there's a known issue where Hugh Jackman looks like an orange in this one part of show or The Greatest Showman, and he told me about it before the demo, and it didn't look good at all. So
that's not good. Yeah, that's
it was very strange.
A chroma issue or something like that, I bet, or a vibrance issue or something. That it's just that's weird.
Yeah, but it was weird. Yeah.
Now did he explain why he had both running? Because the Lumigen should have been able to, especially if he's running the software version of Mad VR. Why didn't he just run the entire thing through the Lumigen? Did he say?
I think because he uses Plex through the home theater PC, maybe. So he just was just easier to use the Mad VR through that, I'm guessing. And then the Lumigen was just for streaming, he said. That's how he explained it to us. And he couldn't get the Lumigen going for some reason. I wanted to see, that's one of the things I really wanted to see was the JVC's just regular tone mapping versus the Lumigen to find out for me personally if that's something I'd want to do. And he couldn't get it. He tried for a while, and then we're just finally like, don't.
Sounds like yourself. He's a sound guy, but not like the video, because he's got two video system. He's got two video processors going, and because that's what, like your Plex, you could be running through whatever you're streaming with too. So if the Lumigen's for streaming, Plex is, you can run that off of whatever you're streaming. No, right?
Yeah,
like your Plex system usually runs through whatever you're streaming with. Like you can run Plex through your Apple TV, you can run NVIDIA Shield, but you run your streaming stuff through those same things too. So you know what I mean? And then once you, whatever the Plex is running, it's just an input. You just put that into the Lumigen or into your receiver. I'm like, that's a weird, I wonder if it's a weird setup. Because the other thing is on the Lumigen, on any Lumigen, unless he had an older Lumigen, unless he didn't, it wasn't a Radiance Pro. I'm not familiar with those.
He said it was like the Radiance Pro 4.6.4. I can't remember. It was. I think it's pretty much what you had with just more inputs and outputs.
So each of those inputs and outputs can be calibrated to each whatever's going into it. So like each of my inputs is calibrated for like the input that gets the Kaleidoscape, because I run everything through my Lumigen now, and then I have one output into my Marantz. Instead of putting everything into the Marantz and then one out, I have everything set up for each input. And you could, so to his point, if he's running like, I got a Mad VR for this and I got this for this, it's like, well, you could calibrate each and every input exactly the way you wanted on the Lumigen itself. And a 4.6, he's 4.6, 4.4, he's probably got about 6 6 to 8 inputs. So depending on the model, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird. That sounds weird. And then he couldn't get it going. That's
yeah.
I think that's one of the nice things about having Denon, Onkyo, like we do. It's so simple.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. With setups like that. Yeah. I mean, there were, I mean, those demos did not come without problems. Don't you think, Mike? There was a lot of, hold on, I got to fix this. And oh, this isn't working right. And there's this delay. It was like, I think I kind of like the simplicity of what we have rather than there's a lot going on there, man.
Some of the scenes were stuttering and like they would jump and.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I don't know what that was. If that's part of the Plex thing, I don't have any experience with Plex.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know what that could. It bothered him, though. He was, oh, it shouldn't be jumping like that. And,
oh, yeah. You could tell. Yeah. He could tell he was very like, you just want everything to be smooth. He kept on saying, man, this room's so hot. Me and Mike are like, that's fine. He's like, I must be nervous or something.
Yeah. No, yeah. I get on my streams, I get that. Like every now and then I'll be watching something. Like it happened to me today watching The Diplomat. And then all of a sudden it'll just be like, and then it'll come back. Right. Like I did that on purpose. Like you just can't hear anything. I kept my lips moving and everybody's listening to audio and I just went away. But that's what'll happen. And you'll be like, what the? And then you just back it up or something. But it never happened. Doesn't happen to me on my movies and stuff. It just happens with streams. So that could be anything, but that's happened to me my whole life. But it is true. The more complicated you get, the more difficult these things get. And you do run into more issues. And especially as a DIY guy, this is where you're like, I need an installer. Because when you have an installer and you have somebody do it, then they just, if it doesn't work, you'd be like, what'd you do? Why doesn't this work? And they get it to work. I don't know if I'd even want that though, because then your whole system doesn't work until they come back. At least with me, if I'm doing stuff and, you know, I had early on, I had with all of my stuff, except I did have headaches with, not headaches, but I had hiccups with the Lumagen. Because it's finicky, you got to get it right. You got to get your inputs right and stuff because it's the bandwidth through your HDMI cables is very sensitive and stuff like that. But once you dial it in, it's fine. The Kaleidoscape, I can legitimately I have had zero since day one, zero hiccups with that thing. And that is, and that's where that money goes on that thing. Right. And it's like, I mean, John, you know the Zepedi. That's just you know, pulling your hair out left and right. It's like there's
it kind of is. Yeah, you do have lots of moments where just like, God, man, yeah.
But
have lots of little things.
Yeah. But but at the end of the day, once you get that thing running right, that's it's smoother. It's closer to the Kaleidoscape than a Plex is, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? But so you get your bang for your buck there. And that, you know, but there is a learning curve. There is a thing. The Kaleidoscape was my biggest hiccup with the Kaleidoscape was when I plugged everything in and I didn't know what to do. And I was like, I literally walked around for 5 minutes going, because there was no instructions. There's nothing in the box. I didn't, honestly, you know what else? Here's the biggest hiccup. I didn't get a remote. There was no remote in the box. So I didn't even know what to, I'm like, what the hell do I do? And I'm literally, and this is, I mean, this is the home theater podcast guy. I'm literally walking around my theater and I swear to God, 5-10 minutes. And then I turn around and like a poster on the wall, there are all the instructions on the screen. So, guys, here, this is your new podcast. Your question to me is, what the hell were you looking at the whole time? I don't know. I was looking in the box. I'm looking and I'm like, you know, you're like shaking the book. Where, what do I do? Everything's connected. I got all the right inputs. It's all connected. It's coming through, but it was on the screen. It's the only thing it didn't say was dummy. It said, go to your computer and log in. And here's the like you need your IP address, and it gives you the IP address. You go to your computer and you go, you sign in, get your password, sign up with Kaleidoscape, which I already had. And I'm like, boom. And I go in, I'm like, I want Star Wars, buy it, run back in my room. There it is. I haven't had an issue since ever. And you're like, I mean, so it's like, you know what I mean? That one had none, but all of these things have issues. You know, they all have, Carl's got a great sit with his Mad VR. I guess Mad VR is doing a great job for them. Their dealers are getting right out there. He had an issue with the first couple of weeks of his, and they came right out the next morning, boom, 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 bang it, fix it, whatever. And you're off and running. So, I mean, that's what you need, right? But it's the more complex, the, you know, the more hiccups you get. So,
yeah,
but that's, I love my Lumigen. I love it. I love the, what it does for everything and the, you know, the HDR to be able to get HDR on that screen on that size. It just, I wish you could have seen it, John. It's like,
I know. I wanted to. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mike, as a OLED owner, what did you think about the projection screen?
The sheer size, like, I mean, it's, that's the thing. It's as far as color and detail and brightness and the blacks, I like my OLED. Yeah. That was a 137 inch screen.
Yeah. And we were like, what, 10 foot away, I thought he said? Yeah, 9 or 10 feet away?
10 feet away from 137. Like, it was...
Yeah. I thought it was going to be too big, DJ, because mine's only 100, and I'm at like 9 feet. Once that movie started, it was not too big. And I was like... Then my brain started going with that, too. You know? I think I want bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was a great picture. Do not get me wrong. The colors were... I mean, everything looked awesome. Quality wise, I like my OLED, but sheer being immersed in the scene and just, I mean, I've never, he played A Star is Born with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. He played the one scene where she comes out on stage or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't care. I'll admit it on internet. I got a little, I'm a crier. I got a little, I was like, oh, and I've never seen it before. That's the first time I ever saw it. And I was like, oh my God. And like, it was a 3-minute clip and I was completely drawn in. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that my entire field of vision was this movie. Like I got drawn into this movie immediately. And that, it was awesome. It was, I really liked the size of the screen.
Yeah,
for sure.
That is something when, I mean, size just for the sheer immersion, like you said, and to be able to, and just, it's a different, it's a completely different experience, So I haven't seen that scene either, Mike. I haven't seen,
I've never seen the movie. I just want to see the movie now because of that. But,
You know what scene I like for coming out onto stage is, have you ever seen the movie Be Cool with John Travolta?
I own it on DVD. No. I've never seen it.
Mm-mm. Seen it either.
You are, Mikey, you're pulling me.
Oh, I got a lot.
You're going to buy it three more times and then not have seen it. And then you'll catch up. There's a scene in that where I forget the actress, but they get her. It's John Travolta. Did you see the first one? Yes. Get Shorty?
Yeah.
Right. So this is a sequel. And it's John Travolta's playing the same character in this one, but he's trying to get this girl her first, you know, recording, make her a star. And he happens to know Aerosmith. So he calls in a favor in the movie, right? And he gets her out on stage with Aerosmith and she gets to sing with Aerosmith. And just the concert footage and sitting in there and watching that scene. It's an awesome scene that if you just jump to that scene, you'd be like, you got to see her coming in and how emotional she's like, oh my God, I'm going on. And then like, Steven Tyler, her and Steven Tyler singing. And it's just awesome. They have the long runway and the way they do the cameras and stuff. And it just sounds, I just want to go watch it right now. It's just so good. It's just, it gets you all fired up. You're like, oh, it's and you can tell like when the scene ends, you're like, that was her big break. You know, like she was out on stage doing what she loves to do with Aerosmith, for God's sake. It's just shot so well. I love that movie. It's so funny. The Rock's really, Dwayne Johnson's awesome in that movie. Okay. He plays like a hitman, but if I remember right, he's supposed to be like a gay hitman or something like that. He's a little flamboyant in that movie, but he's trying to be an actor, but he's hired to kill John Travolta's character. And he keeps screwing up. But you know, John Travolta is just like, you know, he can handle anything in these movies, right? And he ends up trying to, instead of getting killed by him, he ends up going, don't worry, I'll get you a job. I'll get you your acting gig. He's like, oh, really? But he's just so over the top in this whole movie, Dwayne Johnson. It's so funny. It's such a great role. It's so funny. So highly recommend that. It's funny.
There you go.
Good movie. So, all right. What else have we got? Anything?
When we first got there, he started demoing music before the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And he was playing these songs, DJ, that were so bass heavy that I've never experienced this before. I don't know if it was the projector or the screen, but it's almost headache inducing. All the words in the screen were like vibrating like a million miles per hour.
Oh,
that's how heavy the bass was in that room.
Do you think that's the bass coming from behind the screen, or you think it's the entire room?
He was playing some song like that bass. There's a track called Bass I Love You. I think it's got like a 15, it's got like a 15 hertz sound in there.
Yeah.
And when it hits, it was really, ooh, yeah, it was not, because I think when he did the music, did he have the near fields on mic? I don't think so, right?
That's when he was messing around with it. He'd turn them on and then he'd turn them off.
Yeah.
And he'd turn the butt shakers on and then he'd turn them off. He was messing with all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Near fields and butt shakers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then each seat had two 12 inch subwoofers like attached to the bottom of the seat, too.
Yeah.
On top of all that. Yeah. So it's a system. It's called, they call it like a boss system. You take like two 12 inch subwoofers and you just put them right underneath your seat. And then it works through a amplifier and a mini DSP or whatever.
Yeah,
and
you tune it
to the right, whatever. And then, that was also attached to the seats.
Mm-hmm.
On top of the butt shakers and the 18 inch snare field sub right behind your back. Yeah.
It's
like was mentioned earlier, it was a carnival ride. It was just,
yeah. Oh my God.
But, oh, and then there was Mike. Tell them about the other cool thing that neither of us experienced that he had underneath the screen.
He had like a 4D experience. He had fans underneath his screen so that like the race scene in Ready Player One, when the cars start driving and everything starts moving quickly, wind starts blowing in your face.
Yeah. It's been like,
come on. And yeah, what like, triggers yeah, it? Does he have like, is there a system for that?
There's a guy in the Discord group. His name is Nick. He's like genius guy. And he developed this whole program and then he made these fans and he's gone into movies and programmed all the scenes to work with these fans. And he has one of those systems. And it's not overwhelming. I thought it was actually really well done. I thought it was really cool.
It doesn't take much once you're into the scene. Like I was saying a couple of weeks ago, when I was like watching that one scene, the waterfall scene in Cocaine Bear. And I was like, ooh, I got it. It, the like temperature changed. Like I felt like I was behind a waterfall, like, cause I've been at Niagara. So it doesn't, your imagination will help too. So all you need is that little bit of a breeze to even just trigger it. And you're like, oh my God. And it's like, you know, so for it to be, like you said, John, like well done. And like, you don't need a big breeze in your face. You just need something to give you a breeze and be like, holy crap, I'm getting a wind on my face. What the hell?
Before he demoed that for us, I was telling John, just shooting the breeze before. I don't get it, shooting the breeze.
Wow, look at you.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Before he started demoing, I told him, I told John that I was watching Overlord. Overlord the other day. And at the beginning of the movie, when the jet gets hit by the rocket or whatever and starts blowing up and the wind is flying and everything, the ports on my sub started blowing hard enough that I could feel the breeze coming from the ports on my sub. And I was like, it's kind of, you know, hey, I got a 4D. And then come to find out that this guy has a legit fan set up with his
4D system.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was telling us, he
when he had all the, he had the little Expona post party that he had before we got there, some of the guys were giving him a hard time because that same A Star Is Born scene that I was talking about before, when Lady Gaga walks from outstage, from offstage to onstage, it's programmed for wind to blow in your face as Lady Gaga's walking from offstage to onstage. Like
she's walking by you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess.
He was getting grief for that because there's like, why is there wind when Lady Gaga's walking by? That makes sense.
As long as it's not a warm wind.
Right.
You're like, oh.
But then there were other scenes. He did one. He did the second, was it Jumanji, The Next Level? The second Jumanji?
Yeah.
When the rhinos are chasing after Kevin Hart. And that was probably my favorite demo he did. Because
That was awesome.
The near fields, every time the rhinos would hit, their feet would hit the ground, would shake. And so your seat would shake in sync with the rhino's steps.
Oh, wow.
So nice. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Plus all the action and everything, then the wind kicked out, and the wind is blowing in your face. The rhinos are stomping. Like that was, I thought that was my favorite one of all the demos he did for
us. Oh my God.
Cool. Yeah.
It sounds overwhelming. Like you said, like I wouldn't want that every movie, right? It's like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. You need a big room like that though, for something like that. It's, you know,
I think you do. Yeah.
You can't do that in a small room.
with everything, and John was way better at keeping track of all of his equipment than I was. You saw me trying to.
Yeah, I know. That's why I started laughing. I'm like, ah.
But even with all that stuff in there, he had three rows in the front, or three seats in the front. He had a couch on a riser, and then all the equipment. And there is still plenty. Like the three of us stood around behind his seating. We sat over by his left surrounds. Like there's room to just walk and hang out in his room, and he's got all of this stuff in there. The room is huge, so it was pretty neat.
Now, what would you want to take out of there? Like you probably, I mean, neither of you want that entire room, right? And or could have that entire room, right?
I just want the room size. That's what I'd want. I'd want the room size. Yeah, that's what I'd want. He even said that all those subs are not necessary, you know, because he was saying, right? Well, he said, like, when he measures all the subs.
That was nice of him to admit.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, some people won't. They think that it is necessary. I know.
Oh, we
you
need know, all this. What? Yeah, no.
Yeah. But he said the two subs behind the screen, he could get ruler flat measuring. And then one of the subs in the back he could, but the other ones he couldn't. So he's like, I almost feel like I could almost get rid of all the other ones and have three and have almost the same response. So that's what I mean by that. You know,
I'm interested. Like, all right, I'm going to reveal one of my fears I have of going to my new theater. Okay. So my theater right now is only about, it's 18 watt long. But it's shortened because of the false walls and stuff. Okay. The sub that's in the rear of the room is only, I mean, it's a PB 2000 and it's probably about a foot and a half off the back of my chair, off the back row. So for all intents and purposes, I get a nice near field effect. Plus I'm getting the good, I mean, I have the exact same one at the opposite end, right underneath my center channel. Right. So I get good. I mean, I'm getting good response throughout the room. I've moved to other chairs. I get almost the identical response. It's very minimal change, if any. What I'm afraid is when I go to the next room, I'm going to go to fours in the corners, at which I should get the same response. It's going to be a slightly bigger room, but it's going to be four instead of two. What if I don't get the same tactile response, the same feel? Yeah. And I'm worried about that and not having that sub directly behind me like I do now. Am I getting the response I'm getting because that sub is right behind me as well? Or am I getting that response because of the balanced room? right? The way they're positioned in the room, not necessarily how close it is to me. I don't know the answer to that. I have a guess, because I did run my room on the one sub in the front accidentally, and I still had a decent bass response. It just wasn't the same. I was like, and it ran for like a week like that once.
Okay.
And my son noticed it more than me, and he was in a different chair. So that's why it's like, okay, center right along. Now that was the front sub, but the one behind me wasn't the same, but I still was getting the feel. It just wasn't as much of a feel. So I don't know. Now adding that second one in, is it because it's right behind me that I'm getting that? Or is it because it's just well balanced in the room? I don't know. And that gets to like what you were saying about what's his name, Mark. And he's like, you're getting that feel, you're getting everything, but do you really need to have everything underneath you and stuff like that? Like, I was talking with Ara once, and he was telling me, he's like, you should try transducers in your chairs. And I said, why? He goes, you get a nice tactile feel. I'm like, Ara, if you were here, you'd think I had transducers in all that. I mean, my chair vibrates. I feel it. I mean, I feel it. But what I also like is I feel it differently. It's not just like transducers only come up through your chair, right? It's like, that's all you can get. They're not going to give you the punch in the chest. And I can get both of those sensations. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like. And I'm hoping in the new room, I'll be able to get the exact same thing, because that will be a disappointment. I'll be like, all right, how do I get that back? Because I love that. And it's like, you know.
Now, don't they say that in order for it technically to be near field, you have to, whatever the driver size, you have to be that size or closer to the seat. So if you got a PP2000 with a 12-inch driver, for it to technically be near field, that sub, that driver itself needs to be 12 inches or closer to your seat, right?
Yeah. Mm. That's what people say.
So yeah. I'm literally right on that line, right outside of that, like a foot and a half.
And if you're adding two more subs in there to really even out any room modes and, you know, fill in any nulls, I don't know, DJ. I don't think you're gonna.
I don't know.
You might have to go six, man. And I'm not just like, I'm not like joking and saying that, but me, I think neither. You might have to.
I would, you know? No. What I was thinking is if it didn't work, I could go, maybe I'd be willing to go like, the four that way, four in the corners, and then on the half wall coming into that row, I would go. So maybe like almost like if it didn't work out, I know the like the SVS in walls or something. I know they don't go as low as what I'm going to be doing the cylinders in the corners, probably the 2000s, four 2000s in the corners, but then do the 3000 in walls on that wall, basically just coming right into you, right into that row, which will relatively be the middle of the room, because that's the prime seating is the second row. And that's what I'm looking for. So I'm wondering if that could be a possibility. I say it's a fear, but I think it would be fun. Because it would be like, I mean, if it works, it works. Right. You know, you get the four in there and then you're like, oh, I duplicated it. It's great or better, whatever. Then that's fun. But if it's not, you're like, let's go to work. How do we get it back? What do we do? You know, how do you get that feel again? Because it's going to be a contained room. So there's no reason I shouldn't have it. So, my room is, it's 20 years it's taken me to dial this room in. And I doubt I'm going to walk into the new one and get the identical feel.
Immediately? You know? No, I would probably not. No.
Yeah. But that's part of the fun, right?
Absolutely.
That's what I keep telling myself. If not, I'll just come over here to my, not what would be my son's house, and be like, I'm going to watch a movie in the good room. What? No.
No, I was just telling John, before the live stream on Tuesday, similar situation, DJ. My rear sub was off.
Yeah, and
I was kind of getting I noticed it, but
I saw that, and I went back through the thing, and I saw you say, I just turned my rear sub on. I was like, what?
Yeah. Remember, DJ, you were involved in this too when I was working on setting my crossovers a couple months ago.
Yep.
When I was messing around with my mini DSP, I never turned my rear sub back on after messing with my crossovers. It's been off since then. So that's like, I want to say that was February that I was messing with my crossover.
Now, what made you notice and like what made you realize? And is there a difference since you've turned it back on?
I noticed because I would sometimes I get bored and I'll start looking at my measurements, my REW measurements. And
as we are to do.
and I noticed I had this weird null in like the 30 to 40 hertz range. And Erica's looking at me and shaking her head like I'm a nerd. And I was like, Stay focused.
Safe space right here, buddy. Stop looking at the eyes glassing over there. You know, the eye rolls. That's why you're here. We're not nerd now. We are nerd now. We're loving it. Keep it going.
So I had this null at 30 to 40 hertz. And I'm like, that shouldn't be there. Last time I measured, I was pretty smooth, pretty straight. And so I got in and I started looking, and sure enough, I'm like, there it is on the mini DSP thing. Turn it back on, run another measurement. Okay, now everything's back to, you know, I got my room curve set and everything. But yeah, and yes, I can notice a difference. It sounds a lot more full, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I lived with my rear sub off for, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months.
Yeah.
And it sounded weird. It sounded different. It wasn't quite right, but I never really investigated until just Tuesday.
Yeah. So, It happens. My sub issue happened because I run mine off a splitter and the rear channel just came out from the splitter. Just the RCA connection on that splitter just fell out. And it was literally connected. And then you just saw it like this. And it was just like they were still there, just disconnected. Right. And yeah. I'm like, and it was probably like that for a week, maybe. And you're like, what the? Like, why did it come out? But I did notice that. I'm like, same thing. I didn't pull anything out or anything. I was just like, this doesn't sound right. And so I look behind me and I'm like, wait a minute. And then I put my hand on and I'm like, we got nothing here. I was like, oh, holy crap. I'm like, I got nothing on my sub. So I get up and go back. I'm like, are you kidding me? Put it back in. And I can't remember what movie it was, but I'd done a review. Cause this was back when I was doing reviews every week and I'd done a review and I'm like, oh, what the hell? I'm like, all right, I got to go back and listen to this. I'm like, all right, I didn't miss anything. Cause it really didn't affect my seat. Okay. It just affected like the balance of the entire room, but the center seat where I was sitting, I mean, there was a little bit more bass, but it wasn't like you were going to be like, oh, well, there's a bass. Like, you know, my son didn't even notice once I turned the subs off. I used to, when I first started podcasting with John, I didn't know how to run, you know, any of this stuff and be able to noise cancel stuff below a certain frequency. So my son would be right over there playing his video games, and through the microphone, you'd hear because the low frequencies would get through. Well, now I know how to run a noise gate. I know how to cancel. You can have anything come through and I'll just go through and be like, yeah, get rid of that frequency there. So I used to turn the subs off and just the bass layers playing. He was like, sounds great to me. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
You know, it was all cut off at 80 hertz. So he wasn't getting anything more than 80 hertz. But now I think he'd notice because the front stage is at cut off at 100 hertz. So he'd probably notice now, but yeah, he doesn't pay attention like we do.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, it sounds good. Mm-hmm. Spoiled.
Yeah. One of the scenes that Mark played for us last weekend was the catacombs scene in John Wick 2.
Yep.
When he's going through the tunnels.
Mm.
And I had to play that after experiencing it with all of his multitude of subwoofers. I had to play that for myself. I actually just did it this morning before school. And just to see if I could get any fraction of the impact that we got. And I got a good tactile feel, but it wasn't anything like
what we felt at like the chair, like every shotgun, boom, you're like,
yeah,
just taking every shotgun blast. And
yeah,
so my two subs can get the job done, but it's nothing like what Mark had.
That's
for sure.
That's the I've said it before, the trailer for the, what is it, Mission Impossible, the first one with Henry Cavill in it, and when he's like in the trailer, and it's like, it's not in the movie when he like cocks his fists to, they're in the it's that bathroom scene, and it looks like he's gonna go fight Tom Cruise, but in the movie that's not it, it's or whatever, but he's like, and in the trailer I saw that in a Dolby Cinema, and that was just like, and they do have the Dolby Cinema has the transducers, and you can feel it in your chest, and it was like they have the sub. So I was like, both my son and I saw that trailer. It was like boom, boom, and it was like, ew. I think I had my SVSs, but I didn't have anything that wanted, like, I think I had had my SVSs for a while, but I hadn't been to a Dolby Cinema in a while, right? So I came home and I pulled that trailer up, and it wasn't in Atmos or anything like that. It was just a trailer off of iTunes. But I was like, here we go. This is the test. I'm like, do I have close to... I was like, we got Dolby Cinema. We got Dolby Cinema. Like, I was, oh my God. I duplicated. I'm like, both of us were like, whoa. I was like, that is awesome. I'm like, all right, there we go. And it's, but that's what you do. You go around. And like I said, one of the first scenes was that T2 scene where I worked for years to duplicate that. It took me years. I mean, and it, but that's what's fun about it. And it's like, you see systems like that.
Mm-hmm.
Could be 10 years from now before you go, oh, I can do this, and that's what that guy had, and that's, and you, it's been in your head that whole time, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I asked you, John, you said it was the room size. Do you ever think you could get that room size, or would you have to move and stuff?
Well, the day after I did break out the old tape measure.
Serious, that's awesome.
I can't get that big. I think the biggest.
But do you need that big though? Do you need it? No. I understand you want bigger. We all want like a decent size room so that we can play and do the things we want to do. But then you get to a point where it's just excess.
Yeah. Without moving all my heating, my furnace and stuff, I think there's a spot in my basement that I could get like 16 by 20 maybe. But it would be a lot of work. I mean, there would be a lot of work to do. But I could fit it in there someday. You know, someday I could do that. It would, you know, I'd have to build walls and all that stuff, but it's possible. The problem is though, there's four. So I have like a half exposed basement, so it can't walk out, but it's got full size windows, and there's four large windows that would be in the back of that room. So that would be kind of a pain in the butt, you know, but you know, the room I'm in now is just completely black. So, you know, that'd be something I'd have to work with. But
yeah,
and it'd be in the middle of the basement, so you would like come down the stairs, there'd be a small area, you'd have to walk through the theater room to get to the other area, you know, so that's kind of weird too.
You're
talking two sets of doors, so
yeah, not ideal.
No.
And yeah, it's tricky, especially when you want to get into like this dedicated thing. It sounds like that's the situation. I think, Mike, you could set your room up dedicated if you built a couple of walls.
Mike could
definitely.
Yeah,
well, when we tore it, I was like, throw a wall there.
Put a, I mean, really, two walls, right? You
right.
can walk down the stairs, have a double French, or yeah, double doors
in the back of the theater.
Yeah,
and then you'd have the side wall going down the side. I didn't really see to the other side of where you had your columns, Mike. I did. You could see that far.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you could just wall that right there someday. Mm-hmm. And then you could have a lobby.
I see what you're saying. I'm looking right now.
Yeah. I could see it in my head. Poor Mike. He's sitting in the room and he's like, are you like my wife? Like, is it a teacher thing?
She's a teacher.
Right. That's my wife. I'm like, Mike's sitting in the room and John and I are imagining his room and Mike can't see it. And he's in it. But John and I, John's been, how many times have you been there, John?
One time.
Yeah, right. Omar's listening to this, probably going, "Yeah, I could see that."
and the YouTube video, you know,
and the YouTube. Right. And that's the only time I've been there is in the YouTube video, right? So it's that stuff fascinates me. Like, why can I see it and like my wife and Mike can't? It's just, it's, our minds are different. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I just think it's funny.
So you're, I think I see what you're saying.
So you you come down your stairs and you would, there would be a wall there and you'd have movie posters. And like John said, double doors, you walk in the back, that would be the back of your theater. Your screen would be right where it is now. Yep. And to your right would be a wall. Okay. There'd be a new wall there. And then you would have a skinny room off to that side, which could be like your playroom, or you could have you could leave your, what do you got, a computer over there and stuff?
Yeah, my son's video game stuff's over there.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. You could have your kids playing video games over there, and you could turn that. It's basically, you're two walls away from basically a dedicated room.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see it. I told John over the weekend, I said, well, we don't have a bathroom down here. And that was one thing we would really like to have.
That's where your son plays video games. Throw a bathroom right there.
There you go. We have an unfinished section too that we could probably fit a bathroom in there.
There you go.
But that's how I always tell it to Erica. I said, if we're going to renovate and get a bathroom down here, then while we're doing that, we'll just go ahead and enclose a room and I could have a dedicated space. That's my scheme, my plan to get this
done. Yeah, and you could tell her it'll actually lessen the sound that goes upstairs, whether it does or not. I'm sorry, it didn't work, but now the walls are up. What are we going to do?
Right. You want me to tear them back down again?
No. Oh, well. No. Yeah, you could go to a fully dedicated room like that.
And that would be awesome. Yes, that would. Yeah. That's when you were asking what we would like to take away from this guy's theater, my thought was a dedicated space.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he must have had a room within a room too, because he had two doors to his theater. Like there was a door you opened, and you had to open up another door too to get in.
Yeah.
It had to have been a room within a room.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping for that too.
Yeah.
And he had access to his rack on the other side of the wall. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Outside the room.
Yeah, like the front of the rack was, you know, he can on the inside.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The front faces the outside of the room. But then if you go, like, I'm toying with, do I do a rack that I can pull out and pivot, or do I just gain access by going to behind the false wall at the rear of the room and opening a panel to be able to get to any inputs that I want to get to?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all, you know.
Right.
Just what it's just design stuff and take a saw. I mean, there's millions of ways to do these things, but Mike's like, I need a wall. Where?
No, I see it now. I see it. Come on, Mike. Two by fours have come down in price. We can do this.
All right.
I know. I know. Fingers crossed they stay down.
Yeah, for your sake, yes.
I'm going to be buying a lot of 2x4s. What else was I going to ask you guys? What else do you have? And I'll think of it. Anything?
I don't got much.
All right, what's your next adventure?
Right now, I don't know. There's a couple other rooms I think people have offered for us to come see. There's at least one guy's room that's equal or maybe better than Mark's, and he's a DIY guy, so he builds his own speakers and his own he builds them. There's a company called DIY Sound Group. It's a company, and you buy their flat packs and all that stuff. Yeah. I think he's used all their stuff for everything in his room, and I think it's at least on par with Mark's. So at some point, I think we'll probably do that. And there's a lot of guys in that group with a lot of really cool stuff. So, and even like Mike was telling him, hey, my room's pretty, you know, medium down the road of SVS and everything. And he was excited and wanted to come see that too. Everybody's just cool, you know. It doesn't have to be like ridiculous to like, you know. Mm-mm. We just like to talk. It's just like-minded guys on and get together and talk about home theater, you know.
Yeah, so, exactly. It's exactly. I don't think people... I haven't run into any, I should say too many. I don't think I haven't run into any. That's actually an honest statement. I haven't run into any of the, you know, elitists. People are like, you don't run into that. And it's, you know, And it's funny. I can say this on this podcast because I don't think anybody's listening. My son's running into it in the cycling forums. He's getting he's been into cycling for years through me. But now he's on the forums and stuff talking to people. And he's like, they're like super like, oh, you don't want to do this with that. You need this kind of bike and you need that. And he's just laughing. And I'm like, yeah, they're all novices. They have no idea what they're talking about. Yeah. And they're like, he's laughing. Yeah. Like guys are like buying like these $15,000 carbon fiber mountain bikes. And even my son knows, I mean, one, he went to school for engineering, and two, me, I was like, no, you never get a carbon fiber mountain bike. And I'm like, well, the racers have them. No, he wouldn't say that. Yeah, they have them because they're free. You hit one chip out of that carbon and the integrity of the entire bike is shot because carbon's based off of each thread of carbon. Once you scratch that or you chip it, you hit a bump, the whole thing falls apart. You can't do that. And guys are doing that. They're like, is this going to be safe? Nope. But it's a $15,000 bike. Yep. That was dumb. Buy aluminum. It's like, but yeah, he's like so surprised how elite these people are. And there's a whole bunch of other things he told me that they were like, don't do this and don't ride with this type of person and don't do that. And I'm like, I haven't experienced that at all in home theater at all. Everybody's just, it's either the only thing I've experienced close to it is I've reached out to some people to talk to that I just can't get a hold of. And that's it. Okay. And it's, you know what I mean? And it's just, they're busy. I got to imagine, because I don't think it's, nope, I'm not, I don't have to, because anybody that I've actually gotten a hold of has just been awesome. And I got to imagine once I get a hold of some people, that's, same thing, because I'm like that with other things. Like, it's hard to get a hold of me. Once you do, I don't think I'm an ass, it's hard to get a hold of me for what I do and stuff. So but yeah, I think it's just a great community, and because I think every single person in this has always been nobody else to talk to. You know, and you're just like, you want to talk this stuff? Like, I mean, that guy Mark, like, come on over. Now it's like, I wish I had the time to do that. You know, Dan wishes I had the time to do that.
He's
right down the street.
Yeah. That was one of the things that caught me off guard with this Discord group. The DIY guy that John was talking about, he literally lives 15 minutes from my house. He's the next town over. There's another guy who's got a crazy JTR base set up. He's from the town that my wife grew up in. Like, all of these, like, all of these people are right by me. Like, what?
Right. You'd think you'd hear them.
Yeah. Well, so the one guy that's by his wife's hometown, DJ, so I think he's actually bringing in Guinness because his room is small. It has seven or eight of those JTR subs in there. And I think he just hit 150 hertz at 20 decibels or something, which I think is a record. So I think he actually might be having Guinness come in to
Guinness. I was thinking the beer.
Not the beer.
Oh.
That he can imagine, John. That that's where his imagination went.
He probably has that too. I've seen, like, I think he's a drinker too. So yeah, that's probably there too. But yeah, yep. So I think that might
Bring it in Guinness? I'm surprised Mike's still here. Like, gotta go.
yep. But that guy's welcoming. He has big get-togethers all the time, you know. I guess it's so big now that there's people that fly in all over the country to his house to check out that he's got. That's in his theater and in his living room. So JTR's got like a
Has he been on Youth Man's podcast?
Yeah.
That's where he's all because didn't he do a tour through like that whole area? Like, yeah, I didn't know that's where you guys were at the time, but I remember watching those videos and saying, like, oh, you know, we're doing a tour in this area. So that's all those shows. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yep, that's one person. I haven't even reached out to him yet. I'd love to get him on the show.
Yeah. And I messaged him, and he owns a business and he's super busy. That guy that owns all, that's trying to set that base record. Yeah, he says he's interested, but he he has like a sewer company he owns, and he's like 24 hours on call. So he's like, I really have almost no time, but he goes, he'll think about it, you know? So yeah. I really wanted him to get on here and talk to you, because he's really nice too. And he's fun.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but Youth Man, that would be cool. Yeah.
Because we're both doing the same thing. He's just doing it bigger and better.
I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think he's got full a father time now, reach. Though,
which makes it a lot easier than you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is he started that way. And, you know, and he's like, I remember when he went full time and he's like, this is my job now. And then good for you. And I mean, it's perfect for him. I don't know if I could do that. I like staying the way I am. Like to go full time requires, you know, money coming from places that I don't want to come from. But I love what he's doing, and he has basically the same attitude. It's, and that's what you want, you know, and it's, cause it does. I'm not when I say I haven't met any of the elitists, it just means I haven't met them. They're there. We all know they're in the forums. They're all there.
Oh yeah.
And you need to combat that. And I think that's what he's doing. And that's what I'm trying to do. And it's like, you know, it's like, I don't care if you just have a soundbar, just love what you're doing, you know? And that's what he's doing. So
the only thing that sucks for Youth Man is he's come out and said that he gets like no time in his theater anymore though. He's so busy making content all the time that he doesn't really ever get to just sit down and enjoy his theater.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I literally said that last week to Joe Kloznick, cause I said, my son-in-law asked me, this is 2 weeks in a row. People hear this story. My son-in-law asked me, he's like, oh, because of the podcast, are you watching more movies now? And I was like, no, actually probably less, because I'm watching more movies now than when I was reviewing movies. Remember when I was doing a movie a week, it would take me all week to do that movie, to review and do it right and review that movie and get those scenes. So that's all I'd watch that week. And it was like, you know, that got to be, oof. And I want to do that. I still want to do that every now and then, but it gets tough. And even now it's like, you know, and like I said, when I had Joe on, I'm like, if I wasn't talking to you guys, I'd be in there. Right. But I love talking to people. This to me is just as much fun as watching a movie, hanging out with talking to you guys, because like, this to me is content, but this is, you know, now that I have everything streamlined, I recorded it. It's done. I pieced it together. And I put it, takes me like 20 minutes to put this thing together to put it out. Okay. That's not bad, but I get to hang out with you. This to me is just like taking in content. I'm making this content, but you guys are part of it. So that's, you know, and now I've got, you know, like John, you're talking to people and you guys are talking to people like, oh, go on Brightside. So I'm getting more people because of that, because of you guys, you know, people are doing that. And I've always had trouble promoting myself. I told you guys that all the time. I tell you guys that all the time. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of not like, even when I just tweet out like, hey, follow me. Wait a minute. If you saw it, you are. It's like, who am I talking to? Right. And it's like, so like, even on the podcast, hey, you should follow along. Well, they probably are, you know, it's not like I'm like, it's not on a billboard somewhere. So the only way they find me is through you guys. And that's what's happening. And it's like, I'm seeing the numbers and stuff. I'm seeing people grow. It's growing and new people are, hey, I'm new. Oh, cool. And it's, you know, you guys are telling people, so it's working.
Yeah. You know, one thing though, like when we start the live stream, DJ, there'll be like 15 people will be on the live stream and only like 4 or 5 people are like talking. So there must be people watching that just are nervous or they just don't want to, but they're just kind of in the background, you know? So
I should probably mention that.
Yeah, I don't know who that is or whatever. They probably choose to be like that, but.
Right.
I gotta tell you, this is what's fun. And this is why I think, and this is the other thing I like about this stuff is like, I'm so unprofessional because I'm just like hanging out with friends right now. And this is what we're doing. It's like everybody, my family listened to the Mike and Roseanne part. You're so good at interviewing. You're such a good interviewer. You're like so professional. I go, what are you, an idiot? And I go, they're my friends. I go, I'm not a good interviewer, but everybody I sit down with, I think of like, we're all friends, we're doing this. And it's like, it's just easy. I guess that's good, whatever. But I'm just like, you know, when I sit down with John and Steve, I have notes over here. I have video. I have stuff ready to go. I am so excited. Every single show. Oh, I forgot to mention this. Oh, I forgot to do this. I'll go back through my notes and go, how did I miss that? How did I not say that? I swear to God, the last live stream, I could probably do it for you right now. It's in my notes. I have an entire thing. Where is it? Not that one. I might have shut it off. Where did it go? Is it Cocaine Bear? Which one was it? Oh, Ant-Man and the Wasp and Quantumania. I gave boxes of popcorn. Look at these notes I got here on Ant-Man and the Wasp. Do you remember hearing any of that? Nope. No, It's just like you get so excited and you're talking and they're saying stuff and you're doing things and you're like, what the? And it's, but I'm just having fun. I'm just trying to do this stuff. And you're like, oh, and it's like, I could probably make a whole other podcast about the stuff that I forgot to say.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Even for today, I was like, should I call Mike and should we like talk of, you know, like, what are we going to talk about? No, I texted him at like 4 o'clock. I'm like, 6 o'clock, right? And he's like, yep. I'm like, okay, we're good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's John and I used to do that and we learned real quick. We'd see a movie when we were doing chat, Bright Side Chat, and we'd see a movie and we'd be so excited about the movie. And then we go on to the podcast and you're literally like, oh yeah, we talked about this the other day. So let's go on. Well, that's not a good podcast. What the? But then it was like, if you tried to talk about it, there was no back. There's like no back and forth because like, say I said, all right, I know I told you this the other day, but here for the listener's sake. And then John goes, yep. And then he'd do the same thing. I'd be like, mm-hmm. Or you try to feign like the, yeah. Oh, that's a great point, John. I didn't see that one coming. No, because we already did this. It's like, you can't do it. It needs to be fresh. So we said, like, we don't talk. And it actually kind of, I don't want to say hurt the friendship, but we missed each other because we used to talk all the time. I was like, going to save it for the podcast. But yeah, it's better when it's just fresh and you just, off the cuff and
yeah, you
know, just let it go. Yep. So, yeah. So is that it? That's a lot. You guys,
yeah.
I love this. It's like, you guys are traveling around. You're like, I mean, you know, what do we got to come up with a name for you two besides the, you know, Johnny and Mikey show or the Mikey and Johnny show or whatever.
Well, so, we're the Bright Side Per Listen dealers, aren't we?
That's right. The Bright Side dealers. Bright Side.
That sound right.
Yeah, yeah. Not on school grounds.
Yeah, nope. Yeah, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, we got some of the new Bright Side stuff. What is that? Uh-oh, we're in trouble. Oh, so, live stream. Guys, got to keep it up. Keep it up. Keep everybody chatting. I love it. I wish I could participate more on that. But like even some weeks I'm pretty good at it. I'm at being able to see it. But then other weeks, like last week, I wasn't able to. But I go back through them and read them after the fact. Johnny, here's a good one for you guys and anybody listening. If you're in the live stream and we give a disc away, and you say in the live stream, oh, I'd love to have that. Like, you claim the Rocky set.
Yeah.
And I was like, just grab your phone, DM me, email me too. Okay. Because what happened was when the show ended, I thought it was Mike. I wasn't sure which it was. And then people, like, I got off the show and people had emailed me. And I was like, okay. And I sent it to him like, oh no, what was that? What did John? I'm like, who claimed what? So I had to go back through the stream. See, cause I remember Steve saying it and he's like, Steve. And I swear, I thought it was Mike that he said, but it was you. And then I go back through and I'm like, I saw it. And that's when I sent it to you.
Yeah.
I was like, here you go. Cause I knew somebody had claimed something. And I thought it was one of the, if it was, and this is the thing, if it was one of the, James Bond sets, I had two of them. If it was one of them, I didn't have them anymore because they had been, right after the show, they had already been claimed. I was like, okay, yeah, sure. And I was so excited. And then I went, oh no, somebody in the show, I think might've claimed it. Was that Mike? And I was going to have to say to you like, sorry.
Oh, it would have been, yeah. When I did that, I was watching the thing. Then I had to pause the live stream. I had to go do something for the kids. So I came back like 20 minutes later, press play. Then I got to the part where you guys were talking about that. So I was actually like 20 minutes behind. So when I typed that I wanted it, and then I'm like, oh, they didn't mention anything. Well, that's because I wasn't in real life with you guys. So then I just kind of figured, oh, I'm not going to get it because it didn't really match up. But in the end, you ended up sending it to me. So it was good.
Well, Steven said it. Luckily, he saw it. So I knew. But if you're in the live stream and we have something, you know, we have a digital code you want to claim, you're better off just emailing me, because if I see it there, it's like, I've got way too much going on here to be like, okay, no, oh, John wants write down over here what somebody wants. It's like, so even though it is documented in the notes, but I don't, you know, but yeah, just email me if something pops up. So that'd be cool. That way everybody gets what they want, or hopefully. If somebody else didn't beat you to it.
Yeah.
So it's first come, first serve. That's the way I got to do it. Except for the other stuff, the big stuff. We got the big stuff now. It's crazy.
I know you do.
Getting big.
It's crazy. Getting big. It's cute. Oh, you're so cute. You're so cute. Oh, man. So, all right. We'll wrap up on that. I'm getting big.
You're getting big.
You are getting big. Yeah. DJ, you're getting big, and the Bears are about to pick their pick. So, you know, we need to figure out who they're grabbing in the draft tonight? You know.
Yeah.
The draft was tonight.
So that shows how much I love you. This is like a national holiday to me. And really? I chose to still do this with you guys. So I love the NFL draft. It is one of my favorite days of the year. So,
yeah. Well, I recorded with Joe last night, and that was a B's playoff game. I missed that. Okay. But then I skated right afterwards, so I was on the ice for them losing. Oh, well.
Oh.
No biggie. whatever. But, yeah. All right. I'll let you get to your NFL draft. I didn't know you're big into football.
Yeah, I like the Bears, but I the whole thing of the draft, I just really enjoy, you know?
Really?
Just the mock drafts and all that stuff. Yeah. I don't even really like college football very much, but I just like the lead into it, and I just like it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's that's literally the bright side of football. It's like, everything's good. It's like, hope of like, this is the future. This could be it. And you're like, yeah. And then the season hits.
And the Bears are always bad, so we need hope. You know what I mean?
Right. Are they always bad? They're not always bad, are they? Or just last year's?
Well, they were good in 1985.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. In 2005, they went to the Super Bowl. Oh, that's right. That, a lot of bad.
Yeah. Who'd they lose to in 05?
Colts.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I remember one.
I was a
Bears fan then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they returned the opening kickoff of the touchdown, and then, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And yeah, then, that was kind of like when the Patriots had the went up 3-0. Actually, did they go up 10-0 or 3-0 in 85? I know they went up. They had the lead, and then they end up losing like 45-10.
Yeah, they went up 3-0 because I think the Bears fumbled or something, and then it was pretty much game over after that.
Then they got they went 3 in a field goal, and then it was that was it.
They had negative. I think they had negative yardage at halftime, so. Yeah, the defense was pretty good.
Yeah,
even though I was five, but you know.
I was 15, and I remember Eason. It's like I don't think his knees would hold him up ever. He just every time they'd snap the ball, he'd run back, he'd lay down. They're not real Bears. You're not supposed to play dead. Get up and throw the damn ball, Jesus! And then Grogan came in.
Looks like the Bears traded down though, so we got more time to talk.
Oh, there you go. All right, you guys gonna come on the 24-hour podcast?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We will come on whenever you want us, DJ, okay? We're on call over here. We're 24 hours ready to come on.
We're on call. Yep. So I know Mike has said that his wife will do a show. Will yours?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You guys will do a show, so yeah. I can get my wife in, and then we can get the wives going. We can be off to the side, and they can be doing the side eye like Mike's doing right now.
I think that I would love to hear that. I think so, yeah.
I think it would be fun.
Yeah.
It would be fun. Yeah.
That'd be awesome, yeah.
Just, I think that would literally be a great home theater podcast, listening to them talk about us and make fun of us. And say like, oh yeah, the dumb things he does, and like we're in the back going, oh, don't tell him I do that.
So would we listen to it, or would we wait until they were all done and then like listen to your when you actually put it out?
Well, I'd have to because I'm running it. I mean, I can't.
Yeah. You would.
Yeah,
I think we'd have to be there to defend ourselves.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but it has to be an agreement that we can't get on mic. It has to literally be like, oh, come on. You know, like way off mic. And he's like, no, don't say that.
Like, you know, I don't think I'd do any of that. I think I'd have to agree with probably everything that she's going to say.
Well, that's
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Well, and the other thing is now, well, your wives have met, so that would help. But I think if we got them, like you get them together, would they just like, what do you guys want to talk about? Right? Like, who's the mediator? How do you run that?
I don't think so, because her wives, they talk off? Like they were old friends the whole time, right. Really, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So you give them the chance to just, like, dig on us, I think they'd have a pretty good time.
Erica could talk to anyone. Erica's a talker. That's
there you go.
That wouldn't be an issue.
Yep. Yeah, I think it'd be fine.
Oh, that'll be good. We got to set that up. We'll set that up.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. That would be a good time. Mm.
What are you going to call it? The Wives of Home Theater? What are you going to call it, DJ?
Bright Wives of Home Theater?
Bright Wives. Bright Side Wives Club or something like that? Bright Side Wives Club.
Oh, Erica just said she wants a Bright Side Wives shirt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my wife was, I did promise her a t-shirt and I didn't get her one before Expona. So she was not happy about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what, Bright Side Widows. Cause they're always like, he's down there. Right? I'm alone. Something like that. Home That's Theater Widows too. Club. It's like, we're gone.
So, yeah.
You know, because isn't that what they say about like golfing season? They're like golfing widows or something like that. They're like gone during golfing season.
Yep.
So there you go. So the Bright Side Widows Club. That's so funny. All right. So we'll set that up. That'll be a lot of fun.
Okay.
All right. We'll wrap it up on that. Everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for participating. If you want to be on the show, you don't even have to bring a friend like these two did. You could just come on and we just hang out and talk four times. Mikey, four times. John, you're four too as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Four times. Are you the first? I think you are.
I think we're the first.
We're both four.
Yeah. Both four. I know. I think you're both the first at four. I don't think anybody's been at four yet.
Unless you count Steve.
Yeah, let's count Steve.
Well, yeah, I think Steve surpassed four now. Steve, that's cool. Steve's only done two Takeover Tuesdays.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
See? Okay. And, you know, and I haven't let him bring a friend yet. So, there you go, guys. Four times. That's awesome. Wow. I stopped keeping track that people coming. I'm just happy to have them. Like, okay, whenever you want to go do. I used to track and I'm trying to plan and everything. And I'm like, it's self-sufficient. I almost don't even have to be here now. Look, I don't. You're both here. I don't need to be here. I probably ruined this whole thing. So, all right. Yeah, I do have people email me and stuff. So could you guys say how easy this is? Because you both were nervous when you first started, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's there's nothing to be nervous about. It is so easy and so relaxed and so casual. You just get on and chat. It's easy peasy.
And you might even make a new friend while you're at it, you know?
There you go.
Look at that.
There you go.
And it's like, I remember asking you guys, I asked everybody, and I didn't know what the answer was when I used to ask you guys. I'm like, were you nervous? Oh, I was looking nervous, blah, blah, blah. And we'd end the shows like that just to get, and I wanted people to understand, because I appreciate that everybody's nervous. It's not easy. But then when you do come on, and it's like you said, we're just hanging out and chatting. That's just a lot of fun. So thank you guys for doing it the first time and the fourth time. Awesome. Two in the middle were a little rough. All right. I'll talk to everybody later. I'll be back on Friday with, I don't know. We'll back on. Actually, when you're hearing this, we're back live at 4 p.m. on Tuesdays, live 4 p.m. And then the podcast comes out, drops on Fridays. So enjoy. Have a great week and go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.